The Black Vampire, A Legend of St. Domingo, by Uriah Derrick Darcy. So have I seen, upon another shore, another lion give a grievous roar, and the last lion thought the first a boar. Bombast, Furios, William Barnes Rhodes. To the author of Wall Street. My dear sir, charmed with the success of your anomalous drama, which, without aspiring even to the character of nonsense, has already seen three editions, I have been myself induced to venture on publishing, with the sanguine hope of also scraping together a few shillings in these hard times. Permit me to inscribe this tale to you, with a fellow feeling for your lack of genius, and a fervent hope that our names may be encircled by the same evergreen in the Temple of the Muses, and that we may long flourish together on the same pedestal, embellishing and elevating the literature of the auction room. I remain, my dear sir, your affectionate friend and obedient servant, the author. Introduction. If any person should have patience to read the following narrative and can discover the author's drift, it is more than he can do himself. If it be thought exquisite nonsense, it is more than the writer dares hope. And if it be pronounced simple, stupid, and unadulterated absurdity, his own private opinion will perfectly coincide with that of the public. He began to write without any fable, and before he had found any, had spun out the thread of his ideas. This tangled skein of absurdities is now exposed to criticism from the laudable motive of showing of how much nonsense an individual may be delivered in the short space of two afternoons, without any excuse but idleness, or any object but amusement. The prominent descriptions, which it is here attempted to ridicule, are fresh in the memory of all who have read The White Vampire, and to those who have not, the superstition must be so familiar that it is unnecessary to make useless extracts. That the author may not, however, be misunderstood, it may be necessary to state that in the speech of the vampire, he had no design of descending to that meanest of all intellectual exercises, a travesty on authors who are justly admired, but meant, if anything, simply to show how passages, which were fine in their original use, when garbled by the ignorant and tasteless, become a melancholy rhapsody of nonsense. But first on earth, as vampire sent, thy corse shall from its tomb be rent, then ghastly haunt thy native place, and suck the blood of all thy race. There from thy daughter, sister, wife, at midnight drain the stream of life, yet loathe the banquet which perforce must feed thy livid living corse. Thy victims, ere they yet expire, shall know the demon for their sire. And cursing thee, thou cursing them, thy flowers are withered on the stem. But one that for thy crime must fall, the youngest, best beloved of all, shall bless thee with a father's name. That word shall wrap thy heart in flame. Yet thou must end thy task and mark her cheek's last tinge, her eye's last spark, and the last glassy glance must view which freezes o'er its lifeless blue. Then with unhallowed hand shall tear the tresses of her yellow hair, of which in life a lock when shorn affection's fondest pledge was worn, but now is borne away by thee memorial of thine agony. Yet with thine own best blood shall drip thy gnashing tooth and haggard lip, then stalking to thy sullen grave. Go, and with ghouls and afreets rave, till these in horror shrink away from spectre more accursed than they. Byron.